Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mehler here, and I am with author Jerry Apps. We're talking with him about his new book. It's titled More Than Words, the subtitle, A Memoir of a Writing Life. He has co-created a number of documentaries with PBS Wisconsin, a professor emeritus at UW-Madison, and written many, many books and stories, blogs. He's done it all. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Are you a fan of Jerry's writing? If you write, how do you overcome writer's block? What are your questions for one of Wisconsin's foremost authors? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Jerry Apps, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
It's always a fun time, Larry.
I tell you, I really enjoyed your book, and I was trying to decide. I mean, you call it a memoir, and it certainly is. There's also in the book the whole process of writing, as you see it, with a lot of really great tips, I think, for writers throughout the entire process. So it's, in a way, it's kind of how-to a bit, but what do you think?
Yeah, I really wanted it to be more than just a how-to, because there are many, many how-to books on writing available. And anyone who would read my book would find out that my career in writing had a very bumpy start, and it is different, I think, from how many others may have come to writing.
Yeah. You know, I really liked your preface when you talked about changing careers from a professor to a writer. That had to be a scary proposition.
Well, it was, both emotionally and financially, as you might guess, because I left the university when I was, as one of my fellow professors said, I was at the peak of my career. What was I thinking to want to leave? And I did, and I'm not sorry at all that I left at that time, although I enjoyed my university years a great deal. I'll put this right out front. What I didn't enjoy so much is I spent some 10 years in administration, and for me, I was always wanting to write and do research and do some teaching, and here I was messing around with budgets and personnel matters and all that sort of thing. I could do it, but that was not my my first love.
Yeah, I hated that part of being in administration when I was a professor in life sciences communication. It's admirable to be doing that, but it wasn't the most fun for me either. You had, but you've been writing kind of like your whole professional career, even when you were before you were a professor, and then while you were a professor.
That's true. In fact, this may be weird to say, but I've been writing since about 1947. Whoa, what's that all about? Well, it's all about the fact that in that year, I had polio. And it paralyzed my right leg for the better part of, 4 or 5 months. And when I started high school in 1947, which is a day or two ago, I could barely walk. And all boys in those days at Wild Rose High School were expected to go out for baseball. And so I tried out for baseball, and of course it didn't work because I could hardly walk, say anything about running. And I had a couple of my high school teachers that saw something in this dumb little farm kid, and I grew up on a farm, as you did, Larry.
Yeah.
This dumb little farm kid that I didn't see because I felt absolutely miserable. Oh, my gosh. Once you have, when you're 12 years old and you're 13, you have polio and you can't do anything that other boys can do, well, you're feeling quite worthless. And these teachers said to me, one of them said, you know, Jerry, you should take typewriting. I said, what? Typewriting is for girls, for heaven's sakes. Everybody knows that. And it was true. We were all manual typewriters, L.C. Smith manual typewriters, and the girls were, I was in this class with all these girls. I'm wondering, what am I doing here? Because the girls were looking forward to jobs in business offices, and why am I learning how to type? I discovered, because I was milking cows by hand in those days, that my fingers were so much stronger than these girls, and I was smoking them in the typing tests, and I was beginning to have a good time. I also discovered that the typing class was the newspaper office for the school newspaper, and that was my introduction to writing. And by the time I was a senior, I was the editor of the newspaper, writing all the editorials, having a fun time, and compensating for the fact that I couldn't play baseball, I couldn't play basketball, or anything like that.
Well,
that's
you,
how I got started.
Yeah, it's great. And then as a faculty member, of course, you and I probably both did a lot of writing of research papers and papers of that sort.
Well, Larry, I also, as you may know, I worked as a county extension agent for several years, starting out in Green Lake County, and one of the things I had to do in my job then was to write a weekly column. And so I wrote for the Berlin Journal. And then I moved to Green Bay, and soon I was writing for the Green Bay Press Gazette, a weekly column. I learned so much about writing from writing those weekly columns. And Ray Pagle was the ag editor for the Green Bay Press Gazette, and he was my English teacher. I mean, he took my columns and he tore them apart. He had a red pen and he would scratch out things and he would change things. And I hated every minute of it, but as I look back at it, he taught me so much about writing. And that's how my writing developed. Column writing, I wrote columns for years. I wrote for the Washita Argus and the Hortonville paper and the New London paper and all those papers. For 10 years I did that. And I was also teaching at that same time because we moved to Madison in 62. So it's been an interesting kind of a different way. I sort of backed into professional writing and in some ways was forced into it because of polio.
Yeah. And you got some help a name that comes up more than once in your book is Bob Gard. I remember interviewing Bob Gard.
Yeah, Bob became not only a good friend, but he was my mentor. For some reason, he liked my column writing. And one time, we sat down and looked at I had a hundred of my columns or so in my hand. And I said to Bob, I said, you know, Bob, is there any chance that there might be a book here? And Bob had this kind of a drawling way of talking.
Yeah.
He was from Kansas. He said, you know, Jerry, I'm not so sure that a collection of columns is what we want to do. But, you know, there might be an essence of a book here. You ought to give it a try. And that was the genesis for The Land Still Lives, my first book, which was published in 1970. And once I got that first book out there, I was hooked. Book writing became the most challenging, the most interesting thing I could possibly do. Now, mind you, I had Bob Gard also said to me, Jerry, don't forget now, keep your day job. If you're trying to earn a living writing, it's pretty up and down, and he was so right about that. So Bob was a great inspiration for me and a great help.
You know, people sometimes ask me about, well, how do you come up with the different programs? And, you know, there's a lot of thought that comes into it. And you talk about writing, and one of your most popular books, or maybe, well, at least one of your most popular books, wasn't your idea at all, and it had to do with Barnes.
You know, that's several of my books that have been popular. They weren't my idea at all. And the Barnes has really been one of my bestsellers and has created, in some ways, the most interest. It came out, I wrote it in 1976, came out in 77. It's never been out of print, still in print. We revised it a few years ago. And it was an interesting story because it started out where Glenn Pound was the dean of the College of Ag in those days, and Glenn asked me to come down and see him one day, and I thought, oh, my gosh, you don't want to go see the dean. I was thinking getting chewed out for something I'd maybe said at a meeting someplace. But that was not it. He said, you know, I have a friend whose name is Alan Strang, who goes to my church, and he's interested in barns, and he paints them. He's an artist. Well, he was an architect, started Strang Associates here in Madison. Well, so I met one day with Alan. He said, you know, I don't know anything about barns except I like them, and I draw pictures of them. And well, we took this project to Howard Mead at Wisconsin Trails, and Howard knew Bob, and Bob said, you know, I'd like to publish this book of pictures, and I'm going to ask Jerry to write some captions for them. And Howard Mead said to me, he said, you know, I don't think people want a book of just pictures with captions. I think they'd like a little history. And that's how I then took me a year and a half to write the history of Barnes in Wisconsin. And I'm so glad I did, because that book opened the door for my writing about the rural Midwest, and I've written a number of books along those lines.
Yeah, you sure have, and you've written some dandies, including Barnes of Wisconsin. In addition to telling us what you're writing about, you record what you were writing with in the book, which I thought was kind of a nice little aside. You used a lot of different tools to record your writing.
You know, people don't realize the progression of recording devices. I started out when I was working as an editor in high school with a wire recorder. People today have never heard of such a thing. A Webcor wire recorder. Portable. I think it weighed 40 pounds. You could barely lift the darn thing. And they called it portable. And then I worked my through along all the way through all of the other recording devices. Today I've got a digital recorder that's about 3 inches long. I mean, it's really changed.
Oh, and you know, in your writing life, you experienced a lot of good times and a lot of bad times, or at least a few bad times.
More than I wanted, of course.
And I imagine sometimes it was hard to keep writing.
Well, you know, once I have worked, my fellow writers kind of roll their eyes when I say this, but I've worked with 20-plus publishers in the years that I've been writing, and I've worked with the smallest of the small. And I one time was a part-time acquisitions editor for McGraw-Hill, so the biggest of the big. I worked with them all. And it's been a stitch too many times. Well, I won't say too many, but the little publisher would go bankrupt, and here I am. One time in particular, my publisher that I was, and I won't mention names, that was really doing pretty well, and then one of the recessions came along, and everything went south for that publisher. And I ended up with, this publisher owing me a fair amount of money, And I talked to an attorney. I said, "What should I sue them, or what should I do?" And the attorney told me, he said, "Well, you can sue them, but if they don't have any money, well, you're not going to get anything." So I decided to take my inventory of books that they had, and that was both the dumbest thing I ever did and the smartest thing I ever did. Don't fall off your chair while I say this. They had 2.5 tons of my books in those days. When you talked about books to moving them, you didn't talk about number of copies. You talked about weight. And so my son Steve and I went up on a cold winter day, and we shrink wrapped this 2.5 ton of books, because I now sold them out to different other publishers so that they could put them, make them available. So that was one of the real low points in my writing career. I never thought that I would spend a day in a warehouse that was freezing, shrink wrapping 2.5 ton of books.
Jerry Apps, our guest today. He's authored many, many books. This book that we're talking about today, you're going to enjoy it. It's titled More Than Words, A Memoir of a Writing Life. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments as we move along. I've forgotten to give the number here in a while. Let me do it right now. It's 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Clara Neipert is our producer today. Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jerry Apps. He's authored many books, this one titled More Than Words, A Memoir of a Writing Life. And I hope you'll join in with your questions. Again, the number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Jerry, I've forgotten where it was in your book. At some point in your book, you say, every book has its own way of wanting to be written.
It's not, that's sort of a weird thing to say, but it's true. And as I work on a book, I am, and stay with me, I am waiting to find out how it wants to be written. And sometimes I don't find that out until I'm halfway into it, and then I have to kind of rework everything. But I find that both fascinating and challenging, the fact that there's not a prescriptive way of doing it. You don't do first this, then that, and then this. Each one has its own particular way. And it takes me a while to find it sometimes. And when I'm just beginning, I often don't know it. I'm just looking for it, and it takes a while to get there.
And you talk about you have two selves. You've got your creative self and your judging self.
And they are battling with each other all of the time. And just to explain, as you may know, I taught creative writing also for 40-some years. And I would tell my writing students now that each of us has a critical self, and we're pretty much taught in our various formal schooling about how to be critical of something, how to take it apart and look at the pieces. But creativity, the creative self, is something that each of us has, I believe. And it's just wishing to be expressed. And it's not so easy to talk about that creative self, because it tends to be a little bit different with each person. But each person has that creative self. And so in the writing process, I'm trying first to give that creative self a chance to be expressed. And then later, I'll bring on the critical self to sort of rewrite it, make it better, and all of that. So those two forces are working, for me at least. I try to make them work together. For many people, that critical self wants to slam down the creative self as being sort of you're out of it, that's stupid, you can do better than that. All of those sorts of things run through your head. So that's been an interesting part of the writing process for me, that ongoing creative, critical interplay.
Let's take a call. Tanya in Luxembourg, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm wondering, do you have to have a college degree to become a published author? I've been writing since in the 80s, since I was a kid. I worked on our high school annual. I was a co-editor. I worked for our Jackson Sun in Tennessee on their newspaper. And every time I turn something in to try to get anything published, from poetry to short stories to actually a novel, I always asked, what is my degree in? And I didn't have a college degree. I went straight to work.
Well, I to tell you a bit of a story, one of my really good writing students from the Rhinelander School of Arts hadn't graduated from eighth grade, and he wrote three books. So a college degree is not a requirement. There's so much you can teach yourself about writing. And sometimes, and maybe this is not the proper thing to say, a college degree may get in the way of your writing, because you've learned some things about maybe academic writing that get in the way of some creative writing you may want to do. So a college degree can help. Any formal education can help, but it's not essential. This person I was talking about a moment ago, I encouraged him to now without an eighth grade degree, I said, why don't you just take sign up for a course on English composition, just do that, and he did, and so he learned a whole lot from doing that. But he ended up, he was just a fine, fine writer, and he did not have a college degree.
And in something like this, Tanya, the amount of writing you've done can take the place of a degree. If they are asking for a kind of a resume, I think...
Well, that's right. In fact, here's something I say to people, and they say to me, well, you certainly must have a degree in English or in journalism. I said, you know, I'm an out-and-out fraud. I have no degrees in journalism. I have no degrees in English. They say, what? Most of what I have learned about writing, I have is through doing it and having someone criticize it. And I have a shelf full of how-to books on writing. I've taken short courses and non-credit courses in writing along the way, but I have no degrees in writing. And people find that unusual.
Tanya, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Keep at it. Keep at it. One of the things I remember about your book as I read it was that you had some work that you had the White Oak or whatever. It was refused and refused, and you saved it. You always save your work, even if it doesn't get published right away.
You know, I don't throw anything away. Everything I've written is stored somewhere. And now today with a computer, it's so easy to store all this material. But I learned very early on that you never can tell something that you may have written 20 years ago. It may be that just the thing today. You bring it back and you revisit it and you redo it, and by golly, you get it published. And that's happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah, for sure with the Wild Oak. I remember Johnny in Colfax. Thank you for calling. Did we lose Johnny?
No, you didn't. I had to get my phone to come back on. my question is, how does he recommend hooking up with the right publisher?
That is the question of the day. I've spent, as I said, I've worked with all of these many publishers over the years, and one way of thinking about it now, that this, when you have written what you consider, if you say you're writing a book, and you've got most of it finished, or if not all of it finished, what you want to do is go to the library and look for books that are somewhat similar to what you have written, and then look to see who's published them. And in that way, you can find out a publisher that might be interested in your work. Now, that's if you wish to go the route of commercial publishing, which I have done for all of my books. But I am not opposed to those of us who are frustrated by all of that. And today's publishing world is a complicated, frustrating situation for many. It is to self-publish. And you got to be careful, because there are a lot of charlatans out there that want your money, and they don't produce a decent product. But looking carefully at a self-publisher, checking them out, making sure they're honest, finding out that they're going to have your work edited is another route. So those are the two routes to take these days. And I have a number of my writing students have taken the self-publishing route, as they've written personal memoirs, family stories, that sort of thing. And sometimes it's often difficult to find a commercial publisher interested in a personal family story, or there are exceptions, of course. So it's a complicated situation, but it's not impossible, obviously. You go at it, and you be tenacious, and you eventually get it done. One of the things that I have learned along the way is just to being patient. Everything does not happen quickly in the publishing world, as is in many other things in the world. And being patient and trying a number of different things and learning along the way, and pretty soon something will work.
Good luck, Johnny. Thank you so much for calling. Let's turn to Chuck in Wild Rose. Hi, Chuck.
Hi there. I'm calling mostly to thank Jerry. I'm also an author, and I can say that I was not necessarily inspired by Jerry to write what I wrote, but much of what I've written has utilized the information I got from his many books. We've purchased all of them. We have them all on our bookshelves in our home, and I refer to them quite often because I'm writing about 1922. And 1922, farming was not a whole lot different than it was and when Jerry was growing up. So the things that he writes oftentimes help me to write appropriately about the time that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've read some of Chuck's work along the way, and thank you for those kind comments. One of the things that I will point out, and I think is important, is whether I write novels and nonfiction, is that whatever kind of book you're writing, is that make sure that the research is accurate. And that means digging out the facts of a generation, for example. And I was born in the middle of the Great Depression, so I've experienced a good deal of it. But I also have done a lot of reading to find out the circumstances surrounding the Great Depression. I knew Great Depression in the country on the farm. I did not know it in Chicago and in New York and the places where people were standing in lines to get something to eat. And that takes a little research to dig that out. And that's, to me, context is an important part of the writing. And the context, I don't make that up. I think that's not the way to do it. I want my background material to be as accurate as I can make it.
And you do a nice job. Well, it seems to me anyway, you are so much better organized than I am.
Don't be too sure.
But you keep pretty good file system. With
one of the things that this is a tip that I found useful is that I have a writing journal for each book I work on, and that's how I keep straight what's going on in different books, and that's how I keep myself motivated to keep going. I write down. Right now, I'm writing a book that the Historical Society Press will be publishing called Fish Tales. It's a book about fishing and fishing stories and all that sort of thing. And when I start out writing, I write down, well, here, January 31st, 2022, start, 45,920 words, and then I end, and I haven't written yet, I'll write down the total. That's how I keep myself motivated, because when you're writing books, there's always a word limit. And for this book, it's 55,000 words. People go, oh, my gosh, that sounds like a lot of words. It is a lot of words. But I keep myself motivated with this little journal. And I also keep my research notes are in this little journal. And any correspondence I get from people and letters and emails and all that. So that has helped me a lot. And I have I've got a whole collection of those journals. Each book has its own journal.
And by the way,
keep organized, Larry.
As an aside, when you get that book finished, you want to be call me up and let me know, because I'll want to have you on to talk about it for sure. I love to fish, and that's got to be
a while. It'll be a while yet.
Okay. Well, Chuck, thank you very much for calling. Anne in East Troy.
Hi. Thank you for this time. I've enjoyed dabbling with writing for many years, mostly personal essays and poetry, and I've just recently begun taking this seriously, and I wondered how I'd begin the process of getting published. Do I need a certain number of submissions? Are there local publishing houses I should be looking at with that particular genre of writing?
One of the things that I would recommend is that you check to see where you could attend a workshop on writing, and that's one of the best ways to get the information that I've just that I've been talking about. And I can share a bunch more, but a writing workshop where there's an instructor who has experience doing this, and your fellow students all have different stories to tell about how they have worked toward getting published, and I think you would find that really useful. Just Google Wisconsin writing workshops if you want a key to how to get at it, and there are a number of those opportunities available. And if you want to go a little further, Minnesota has a whole bunch of these writing workshops available in the country. But that to me would be one of the best ways of getting the basic information that you need about working toward being published.
Good luck, Ann. Thank you. Let's go to Gary in Milwaukee. Hi, Gary.
Oh, hello. Say, I saw Jerry at one of the Cedarburg festivals a number of years ago, and I regret I didn't stop by his booth to have my book signed. Well, I didn't have my book with me at the time, but I would have bought one to have it signed. And I'm just wondering if he'll be at one of the local festivals near Milwaukee, like at the Cedarburg Fall Festivals or Strawberry, whatever, in the near future.
Well, what's going on is one gets older. And I am at the stage in my writing career and in my life where I'm not doing very much traveling anymore. So that's probably not likely. I have been at many of these. I'm doing a lot of this work virtually now. As we are talking on the radio, I do a lot of Zoom sorts of things. But I'm not able to do as much traveling as I used to do. My gosh, I spoke in 130 libraries just to brag about one part of what I've been doing and can't do anymore. So the festivals are a great way of learning about writing as well, along with the writing workshops that I mentioned. There are a number of book festivals available in Wisconsin as well.
Yeah. Gary, thank you very much for going. Speaking about book signings, you have a hilarious story in your book about a trip, a night at a hotel in Eau Claire.
I tell you, that was the That was a nightmare of a situation with the first thing I noticed at the hotel, a big sign, do not drink the water. What? The water was contaminated, and so you couldn't drink the water. And then I woke up in the morning, there was a car on fire in the parking lot. Jeez. Yeah, well, I could go on, but I've got a whole chapter on my days traveling, and we were lost ever which where. It's both most fun and a major agony, but it's a very interesting part. One of the really good things about my writing career, I was able to see just about every nook and cranny in Wisconsin, a lot of Minnesota, some of the UP, Northern Illinois. I just saw places that I ordinarily wouldn't get to. And I signed books, gave talks all over the place. And that, to me, was one of the fringe benefits that I really enjoyed. Meeting a lot of interesting people, answering questions, being challenged. It was just great fun.
I remember you writing about one of your favorite book signings involved a young girl and her dad.
You know, this was, I don't know, Racine Kenosha, number of years ago, they had made the mistake at that place of inviting me on the day that the Packers were playing. Nobody has anything going on when the Packers are playing if you expect anybody to come. And there was almost nobody came to this book signing except this fellow with his little girl. And I don't know, I've forgotten what I said. She may be 4 years old, 5 years old, something like that. And she had wanted a book.
It was her first book to pick out.
Yeah, and he said to her, now you pick out whichever book you want. And it was so fun watching. I've written several children's books, too, kids' books. And she was looking at each of these books. I just thought that made my day. I mean, there weren't 30-40 people standing in line. There was this little girl and her dad. My God. Gosh, how wonderful that was. Here is this young man is introducing his daughter to reading a book of her own. And so I signed the book to her, and she was so proud. Oh, my gosh. She now had her own personal book. And those are the kinds of things that really touch me, I tell you.
So much more to your book, and this whole process of writing, everything from the writing itself to the marketing of it, the publishers, it's all in there. And so anybody who's interested in writing ought to be picking up a copy of your book. But you know what? Even if you're not planning to be a writer, you're going to enjoy reading about the process. Jerry, you do a wonderful job for anyone who doesn't even want to be a writer of finding interest in the process.
Yeah, it's an interesting, writing is interesting, and it is indeed much more than words. And one quick story, I got an email from a young woman in Oconto, who was all upset because her husband had been in an accident, farm accident, and she figured he was going to commit suicide. She'd gone to the library. The librarian had given her a couple of my books, and her husband read the books, and she said, and maybe this sounds a little overblown, but you have saved my husband. I mean, when I get an email like that, oh, that's what keeps this old guy writing.
Well, keep writing and keep talking, and we'll look forward to talking with you again, Jerry, and certainly that fishing book. I want to hear more about that when you get that one done. Thanks, Jerry.
It's coming along.
But in the meantime, Jerry App's book is titled More Than Words, A Memoir of a Writing Life. And I'm pretty sure with all of the great stories, along with wonderful writing tips that we really didn't even get into as much as I would have liked, But we'll do that maybe another time when we have Jerry on the air. Great stories there in his book. And there's always a lot of great stories in Wisconsin. You don't have to look very far sometimes. And sometimes one way to do it is to pick up a copy of Our Wisconsin Magazine. And we're going to talk with the editor, Mike Bino, of Our Wisconsin Magazine about their latest production. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.